Hi, this is Vision Destiny 2019, and I'm sharing some of my journals from 2018. Some of that will include what did God say to me during 2018? What does God mean for 2019? Obviously, because we're now applying it to where we are today. What does God want to reveal and unveil to us in 2019? What does God want to do in us? What does he want us to do? Where does he want us to go? Where does he want to take us in terms of revelation, maturity in 2019, so we can embrace that process and engage it actively to see God at work in our lives. So many people are going through stages of transition where God is renewing their minds, deconstructing their minds, giving them experiences, unveiling heavenly encounters, engaging angels, all those things. What framework do we put them in? Now, as I say at the beginning of these sessions, please don't believe anything I say just because I say it or because I've written it. If you resonate with anything, take that into your spirit and engage with God and ask him directly for the revelation. If you strongly disagree or if you object to anything I'm saying, ask God to unveil why. And perhaps that might be because I'm wrong. It may actually be because God wants to do something in that area of your life. So be open. Always take it back to God. I can only share information that I've received through my personal encounters and experiences with God. Only by engaging God for yourselves can you have revelation, not information. We all need to know the truth. Now, the truth, reality, the truth, as in Jesus, the truth, as in knowing the spirit of truth. We all need to know by personal experience and encounter. Intellectual knowledge is not what we're talking about here. Intellectual knowledge will be limited by your capacity to understand from the flow of your soul. We need to experience that. That experience would perhaps even challenge with cognitive dissonance some of the things we think we understand and allow God to change us through the encounters so we can be changed from one degree of glory to another and mature in sonship. In everything that I do, love is my plumb line for truth. I weigh truth. Interpret truth. I interpret what God says to me. I interpret what I read in the Bible and anything else from the plumb line of truth. God said to me, if it is not unconditional love, it is not me. So that gives me a good starting point. If it is love, it is me, and love must be unconditional and otherly, in other words, directed towards others. Otherwise, it is not love at all. I found this quote from Francoise Dutoit. Don't tell people how lost they are. Show them how loved they are. And this is how God wants us as his children to relate to the world around us, which is all populated by those who don't yet know that they're his children. Those of us who do need to represent God correctly. And that means to show people how much they're loved by God, and not that they're how lost they are. So let's really keep that in mind when we're engaging people, that we want to demonstrate that they're loved by God and they're accepted by God and they're included, but they just don't know it. And that will change how we present the good news, because it really is good news. We have a ministry and a word of reconciliation that we need to administrate. Now, this is some of the things God said to me. Now, I'm talking here about the firestones. Now, the firestones are found in Ezekiel 28. The firestones were where Lucifer walked. The firestones were my first engagement when I went into heaven in 2008. And they have been an important place in my life of engaging in a place of revelation that unveils sonship at a deeper level and gives me a deeper insight into the precepts of God, and particularly love, as love was the first engagement on the stone that I had. So this is what God said to me. Son, the firestones are the stones of destiny, where the fire of our DNA is encoded within the stones. So this is a place of transformation and revelation of identity of who we are as sons of God. The stones were created to release the light of our character and nature as the precepts that were to be reflected out into all creation to enable all to be connected to the source, which that source obviously is God himself, the Father himself. So these stones had a purpose. That purpose was in a way, short-circuited and hindered. And now God is wanting to bring us back so we can engage with those stones and the deep revelation that's within them to begin to mature us and bring us into fulfillment in our destiny. The waves of light that revealed the essence of pure love could be absorbed by all spirit and form the particles of love's manifestation within creation as the building blocks of all things. Now, this is God's way of explaining string theory and the theory of everything and everything else by linking love and light and linking spirit to see that everything that God creates is formed out of the things that he has spoken and the energy that is still vibrating within the fabric of creation. And as sons, we get to be involved in that process. The light bearer refused to reflect the light, choosing to create darkness by reflecting an absence of our presence. All those who followed him became darkness and introduced darkness into creation. My sons are called to be sons of light, to arise and shine, to restore light to creation by absorbing our image into themselves across all spectrums and all frequencies and releasing and radiating love's light. That's what it is when we come heart to heart with God and we get intimate. We are changed and transformed to shine and to radiate light. As my sons embrace the light of each stone at each level, deep will truly reveal the depths and manifoldness of who we really are, and so we'll be able to be a true reflection of fire's transcendence converging as immanence. And again, I think that's really important to get hold of, that when we engage here, it is so we will be having a glory that radiates our image as created in God. The willingness to embrace the consuming fire of our love and be purified and refined is the precursor to engaging the stones and being able to receive the deep revelation of eternal sonship. We must be willing to embrace fire. And therefore, we must be willing to see that God's love is a transforming love, a refining love, a purifying love that loves us too much to allow us just to be the same. We need to be conformed to his image, and therefore our sonship needs to be revealed. Created and creative light will form an interference pattern and cancel each other out, leaving darkness. By engaging the firestones, you are bathing in the creative light, revelation light, that will activate the creative light hidden within the fabric of your being and radiate for your innermost being, transforming, created, back to creative, so that you can radiate the glory of sonship once again. So in other words, the created light that we are needs to be restored to the creative function of light, which is going back to its source and the higher speed of light, which is God himself, so that we can radiate the glory of sonship once again. This is a restoration back to God's original intent and purpose and to what Adam and Eve would have been if they had followed the process through and if Lucifer hadn't fell and short-circuited that process as well. All this is a restoration of God's original intention. The created order has been separated from the creative realm and is longing to be reconnected and brought back into the harmony of the first estate, from which it was removed by the choice of my son Adam to abandon the light of life and walk in the darkness of self. As my sons choose to walk in the creative light of their sonship, creation will again respond to love's light. And there's something missing within the fabric of creation that is looking to us to be part of that restored process. So we need to shine. Arise, shine. Creation itself is waiting for you to arise and shine by discovering the true nature of your sonship deep within us. And that deep within us is really, really important because that's where we're going to truly engage who we really are in this heart-to-heart cardiogenosis process of heart-to-heart knowledge and experience. Son, true ascension is not entering through the veil into the heavenly realms, but is entering into us to ascend into the maturity of your sonship. Again, when people talk about ascensions, a lot of it's talking about sort of going into heaven, stepping in, stepping out of heaven. Now, I believe in that wholeheartedly. I just don't call it ascension as much as engaging, because I see ascension as a process of maturity, of arising those nine stones on the firestones into nine levels of maturity. Because I've experienced, I think, seven encounters which have been transformatory there, which unveiled another level of the precepts of God, which has really brought us forward into what God is, me forward into what God's doing in my life, and has been a springboard to growth. So for me, ascension is about me ascending, me maturing. And yes, we need to engage heavens for that. True ascension is becoming mature sons by embracing the nine stones at the nine levels that will add the last three stones of sonship to reach and live from the eternal now. A couple of times when I engage the firestones, and I include this within firestones teaching that I've done, I think within some of the Sons Arise conferences and perhaps in the latest sessions of the Engaging God program, I've engaged there seven times, and I believe there are nine levels of ascension and with nine stones, and there will be three more stones. You know, I engage, and the Father showed me that we are supposed to produce three stones which radiate out of our maturity, which will then take our throne from presently heaven to the heaven of heavens. The next stone will take our throne into perfection, and the last stone will take our throne into the eternity realm. That's the closest we can get in the creative realm to the eternal now. And the speed of light is faster there. Time is different there. But we can mature. Now, there's a lot for us to do. Most people have never stood on a firestone, so they've got some encounters with those stones and the process that outworks, because it took sometimes a year, 18 months or more to outwork the deep revelation that I experienced when I stood on those stones. They weren't always cognitive, but they were so life transformatory and a springboard to put the precepts of revelation that I experienced into outworking in my life. There were always intended to be 12 stones that would take the thrones of sonship from heaven to the place high above all authority through the heavens of heavens to perfection to eternity. This is where the speed of light is closest to the purity of eternity's perfection within the circle of love's dance. Son, this is the highest estate within the creative order of the Creator that can be ascended to. Son, the stones of destiny will reconnect your past, present, and future destiny into wholeness and remove all separation from within your being and bring a clarity to your true identity and calling as my sons. Now, this is where, as we begin to connect in a more intimate way and our mind gets renewed, restored, remapped, we connect to who we were before we were here. No, I don't believe that we were in cold storage as a spirit waiting to come into a body. We were a spirit being functioning within creation, and that memory needs to be reconnected to. It's not been lost. We don't have amnesia as such. It's just our soul has never connected to that memory, and therefore our spirit consciousness is connecting to our soul consciousness, our mind, our consciousness, if you like, to bring a revelation of our destiny and our past expression of that, which has connected us to creation in ways, what is going on in present and in our future, and how that is going to be outworked in the ages to come. So it's really important that we learn to embrace these stones of destiny. Heaven is the center where your throne of sonship are currently positioned, but as my sons ascend, so will the thrones ascend to our highest place within the creative order, ages to come as co-creators and ascended fathers. And this is the title that he showed me that we would begin to come into when we saw our throne go from heaven into the heaven, the heavens, and then on to perfection. There is a process of maturity and ascension. It doesn't happen in an instant. You cannot create character and maturity in an instant. It is a process. It is a process of renewing the mind. So that is from, let's go from the bottom up. The kingdom of earth. we live in this realm. We learn to be servants, stewards, friends, walking in his ways in this earthly realm, engaging the kingdom of God here. That is the initial process that starts to bring us into a place of friendship, which opens up a level of intimacy, which will begin to unveil that there is more. Then within the kingdom of God realm, within the heavenly realms, in lordship, we learn to begin to govern the house. This comes from Zechariah 3:7. And in governing the house, we're also talking about our own life because we're a house of God. God dwells within us, but also his wider house, the house of the mountain of the house of the Lord. So there's a sense where we begin to have governmental authority as lords. And there's a limitation to what lords can do, but way more than what servants, stewards, or friends can do in that part of the process. And then into the kingdom of heaven, as kings within with charge of the courts. Now, most people are learning to use the courts in that kingdom of God realm in lordship and are using the mobile court or the court of accusation. But there are other courts, obviously, which are to do with more governmental things. And there are also assemblies and councils, which are to do with more engaging process and strategy. So what happens in these areas, then we go beyond heaven to have sons with access to the assemblies and councils of God. As we mature in kingship, that brings us into a mature sonship position. That then takes us to the heaven of heavens as co-heirs, that then takes us to perfection as co-creators and eternity ascended fathers. And there's a whole process to go through, which I have no idea how long it takes, and I know earlier how long the ages to come are going to be before we come into them, but actually let's embrace the process now, and then we'll be used to that process as we embrace transformation, change, engaging for perfection, transformed from one image of glory to another. This is our process. It is a relational, ongoing process where the deeper we come into intimacy and revelation of the truth of who God is and our sonship within him, it will begin to mature us and will release different positions of authority within the realms of heaven. Son, I am is all consuming. There are no half measures about us. Our love is all consuming. Our passion is all consuming. I am is an all consuming fire. And that means the way to intimacy is always the way of fire. Now, most people avoid fire because it's hot. Or they use fire because it warms or heats. But the reality is, we're not talking about actual fire here. We're talking about something which is an illustration or an analogy of God and his heart of love, and how that expressed as fire is always about transforming by consuming those things which are hindrances so that we would become pure. The same thing as you get with gold, heating it up and the impurities rise to the surface and are scooped off until there's a pure mirror surface when you know you have pure gold. And that's the process in our lives that we go through. If we're willing to embrace the fire, the fiery sword, the fire on the mountaintops, the fiery altar, the river of fire, the firestones, the judgment seat, the place of fire are all expressions of my passion for you. So whenever you see fire mentioned, in the Bible, or if God speaks to you about fire, or you have visions or encounters with fire, embrace it as part of the process of maturity that we are all going through. Son, my fire is never to be feared, but embraced as a powerful reminder and expression of the commitment of my love and the revealing of just how far I am is willing to go to secure relationship. I am's fire of sacrificial offering was in the place before the foundation of the earth and before the fall from the identity of sonship to ensure redeemed and restored face-to-face innocence. God has not left this to chance. Right from the outset, he wanted to do something that would maintain the possibility of relationship, and therefore there was a sacrifice on the creation foundation stone of creation that took place before this dimension was created. Although I don't believe it necessarily that it was before everything else was created. There were some things that I believe were created at that point to witness and to be part of that process. Son, the so-called lake of fire was another expression of my love to end death and restore those who have fallen from their first estate. Son, follow the river of fire. Where does it go? And so I know where the river of fire is. I know where it flows from the throne. I know where it passes down to the firestones, but I'd never followed it any further. So I, you could say, surfed the river of fire. You know, I let it flow to where it went and I followed it. It flows into the place of fire. Now, the place of fire is what I now would describe God's love, God's consuming presence for those who do not yet know him personally and intimately. Previously, some people would have called it hell. I call it the place of God's consuming fire of love. But actually, that's where the river of fire goes. Now, again, are we talking about literal fire? Or we're talking about a place of God's presence, which does the work of fire, which is to purify and refine and remove everything which is of impurity. Son, my throne is an expression of my authority as a king, and the river flows from my presence as an expression of both my love and my government. This also expresses my love to make the place where all can be restored, redeemed, and reconciled, who do not come through the fire of the cross. Now, the cross is, in a sense, another symbol of fire, like the fiery sword, which was to people went through to engage into the tree of life. These are places where fire does its work. Only those of my children who refuse the invitation to come through Jesus, the door, which is open, of course, choose to go there, and they too can be saved by fire. Now, it says that in the Bible, that when we go to the judgment seat, now we have applied that only to believers. Why? It doesn't say only believers. There's an indication that all of us have to go through fire to engage God. And that fire is an ongoing process where we engage the altar, where we engage our scroll and come before the fire of God. These are things we can embrace by choice. All get that choice before they die physically. No one will be able to have an excuse, because I speak to the hearts of all my children in many ways to offer them the choice. God is continually at work. The Spirit is continually at work in us to unveil and reveal the true nature of God so that people can have a relationship with him. That's what he's doing continually. He continually is out working to bring good out of every situation that we face, so that people can encounter him and come back into a relationship with him. Son, as you know, I am loves all our children with a consuming, passionate, fiery love that cannot be escaped and will never give up or fail. The first firestone of love is both a reminder of my very essence as well as my total commitment to my children's identity, destiny within I am. God is passionate about us. That's why I love the Mirror Bible translation, the Passion translation. They're expressing something of this amazing intimacy that God wants to have with us, and expressing it in a way which is inclusive and is wanting to encourage and draw people into it, not excluding them from it, but looking to unveil it so people can experience it. The first level of the stones reveals the emotional truth of the fruit of knowing us intimately. Each level takes that foundation and builds upon it until my nature is revealed. This enables the fullness of my desire for our sons to be like I am. Each level of experience and revelation builds upon love's essence to the full stature of the Son of God. So the firestones and these encounters that are engaging us with the precepts of God and taking us into that deeper level of essence, engaging the essence of God's love, are designed to be revelatory, to bring us into maturity. Love gives truth its voice. The conversation that truth inspires creates the atmosphere wherein growth is both spontaneous and inevitable. Our encounters produce change in us. The whole person is addressed in Christ, who is the head of the body. He is the conclusion of God's communication with mankind. Speaking the truth in love is not only the preferred attitude in our every conversation, but the only option where truth gives integrity to love and love gives attraction to truth. From him flows the original composition and detail of our design, like words entwined in poetry. They connect layer upon layer to complete the harmony, following the rhythm of his thoughts like footprints. Meanwhile, the body thrives and pulsates with the energy of love. Each individual expression finds its complete measure there. The church is not a dismembered, dysfunctional body, but a fully functioning, coordinated lover of people. Rob Lacey, which I found this quote from, really key is to knowing this real measure of love and the energy of love and the power of love and the activity of love, because that's what the world needs to experience if we're going to arise and shine with love's light. It will be the light of love that we're revealing and unveiling so that they can experience this amazing truth. Son, be an example of a son who has arisen and taken their place in heaven and on earth in intimacy of relationship and the responsibility of government. Son, I have hidden you under the covering of my hand, of my love, but now I am opening up my hand to let the light shine out from within me. Son, you have been willing to be low, gentle, humble in heart, so now I can allow others to see what we have together, which is why I'm sharing my journals. You know, these are deep personal things that I have these encounters with God and these conversations, and I listen to him and engage him. You know, they're personally what I live from and how I live in. So I'm sharing them with you because I have permission to do so. You know, in the past, I've shared some of the things that God has said that he's given permission, but he's now giving me permission to share some more deeper things. Son, as an ambassador for the Joshua generation, take your place within the Council of 70 with the portfolio for the preparation for the harvest. And this is something, again, which God has called me to participate in, which is why this year I am looking to raise up ambassadors for the Joshua generation, engage with them, legislate together, get mandates from heaven to see the Joshua generation raised up within this world so that we can be ready to receive a harvest into the storehouses and ecclesias and embassies of heaven that are established. And I have a mandate to make representation to the Council of 70 for that outworking, and I do. Son, take this simple robe that covers your glory with humility and be seated. So God gave me a new robe. You must shift from the earthly to the heavenly over the next 2 years as you learn to function here. So the next 2 years are key for me. There are changes going to take place physically. There are changes that are taking place spiritually. I am learning to operate in different courts of heaven in this shifting time of transition. The council sits in 2 days. This was back when God spoke to me. Your spirit will be engaging, but over the next 2 years, your soul will become more actively participating and you will become more cognitively aware of the activities and functions of the council within the affairs of the circle of the spheres. So there's things that are going on in the realms of heaven that I have experienced, some of them. My spirit is beginning to engage there, and sometimes my soul will join and become aware of some of the things that are taking place. And hey, God has given me 2 years of preparation for this to take place. I call for the opening of hearts and minds to see blind self areas of independence where needs are being sought to be met outside of true love within I am. Now, again, this is the decrees and declarations I make as I have experienced the reality of these encounters. They are part of me. They're part of my identity. They're part of what I do. And then I begin to make declarations based on that which I've received or absorbed or taken into myself. I don't sit there thinking about what I should say or how I should say it. You know, I make these declarations out of the changes that the encounters have formed in me that then motivate me. They inspire me, and I am inspired to engage to see the Joshua generation come into being, to see the sons of God arise, to see God's children come into the position of mature sonship. So I do make these declarations. And again, I want to encourage you to listen to these declarations and to respond where appropriate and to participate in this. You see, it's not just me saying these things. The purpose of me saying these things is for people to resonate with them, come into agreement with them, and see where their destiny interacts with them. Because there may be blind self areas that we all have, and where may be areas of independence where we all have, and there may be areas where our needs are being sought to be met outside of love within I am. If that's the case, allow this declaration to open your hearts and your minds so you can see these areas. There may be those that you want to minister to and declare over their lives because they're within your circle of influence or spheres that you have authority in, to call for the opening of their hearts and minds. But never point the finger towards others without realizing there are three fingers pointing back at us. So I encourage you just to close your eyes, and I'm going to use frequencies of some crystal bowls, which will enhance and carry these declarations to resonate within your spirit and to touch the spiritual atmosphere that I'm speaking them into. So I call for the opening of hearts and minds. So just allow your heart and your mind to be engaged with the Spirit of Truth that will open and unveil . Let people see areas of blind self that needs the light to shine, to unveil areas of independence where people are seeking to meet their needs outside of the love that's available to us within I am. I call for the light to shine into this darkness to reveal the hidden motives of our heart. Let that resonate to reveal things that you may not know. I call for the law of removal of religious restrictions, which is a law that we have in our statute book, to be enacted to lift the veils of blindness off the eyes of the Joshua generation. Let the veils of blindness be removed from the eyes of the Joshua generation so they can see the truth of their inheritance, their call as part of the order of Melchizedek to take their place within the realms of heaven. I call for an open heaven environment where God's children can hear the cry from the Father's heart to unveil, to reveal, to release them into their full, glorious identity and inheritance as mature sons of God, the Elohim, the godlike ones. Hear that call, respond to that call. Begin to respond. Let your spirit respond, let your spirit rise up to receive that call, to engage that call, that call will begin to resonate within your soul, that will bring light and truth into your soul and bring a reintegration of soul and spirit. Let that frequency of His voice resonate within you. I call for gathering angels to be released, to remove all obstacles and stumbling blocks from those who willingly open their hearts and their minds to the light and fire of God's eyes. Just let God's eyes, the fire and the light of His eyes, penetrate to remove every obstacle and every hindrance, every stumbling block which may be operating within your soul. I call for the sound of many waters God's voice, the angel of the sound of many waters, to release the call to destiny, to resonate within the hearts and minds of God's children. Let that call, let the sound of many waters resonate within your hearts and minds. Let it penetrate. I call for the hearts of God's children to be turned towards their Heavenly Father for restoration of relationship and restoration of responsibility. I call for the love bombs of heaven to explode. Let those love bombs be exploding over your life right now. Under that open heaven, the love bombs of heaven to explode with the revelation of the depth of the Father's love for His children. Over those sons who are being called to arise right now and the Joshua generation environments, I call for the love bombs of heaven. Let the love bombs of heaven be released. Let those bombs explode in your life. I call for the lightning bolts of heavenly revelation to penetrate the hearts and the minds of those who need the destruction of fortresses, strongholds, and protection mechanisms in their mind. I call for the lightning bolts of heaven to begin to bring encounters that will bring cognitive dissonance, that will bring challenge to every mindset, belief system, value system, which is not aligned with love and God's truth. Let there be revelation of the father wounds and the scars so they can be healed. So just let that frequency of God's love touch your soul, unveil father wounds and scars from your past, and let His healing sound, His healing frequency, His healing words of love. I love you. 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 I love you, my children. Let those words of love, healing balm, bring restoration and healing and remove those scars. I call for those freedom portals to be opened and the sentinel and angels to permit access to the legions of the angelic host who bear the gifts of destiny's call to sonship. Scrolls, mandates, blueprints, revelation, truth, revealed, new mantles, new authority coming out of heaven into earth. I call for an increase in the levels of power and presence to manifest glory during this season of new intensity. I call for the suspension of all barriers in time and space for all to experience the atmosphere of all activations and all encounters under an open heaven for all who may be watching, listening to this. Let that message go forth. Let that truth go forth. Let this sound travel unlimited by distance in time and space to engage in the hearts and minds, or to bring revelation. continuing with some of the things God said, son, love is not just the essence of who I am, but is also to be the essence of who you are. If you really want the world to know me, they need to see love in action. When my children truly know me, they will love one another and the world they are part of and are responsible for. Religion in all its forms cannot truly represent love because it is not relational and therefore cannot reveal my true nature to the world. Love is not love if it's not otherly, because love is primarily about giving and not about receiving. Love me with all your being as you have been loved, and then you will be able to love yourself and others, but only you can only love me through relationship, not concept. So this is not a law that we have to try and work up, to try and with all our strength to love God. This is a response, an inspiration of being loved, which is why it's so important that we know the love of God, the unconditional love that God has for us, that we know it by personal experience. You must know me to love me. Relationship cannot be theoretical. It must be real interaction that occurs between us. We need to engage. And he wants to engage us. He wants us to engage him. He wants us to experience that engagement. He wants us to engage with him in intimacy. I know you, and I mean, I know everything about you now. And I love you as I love all my children. Know that God's countenance is fair, that his grace and mercy are unfailing and never ending. Relationship was never meant to be one way. We are pure relationship in the dance of I am, and we desire that our children experience I am in intimacy within us, within you. Son, that is why deep is calling to deep. It is the call to know love in its purest essence without agenda or need. I am is calling like the sound of many waters to all across the dimensions of time and space, calling to all the broken hearts and parts to come back to wholeness only found in the oneness of I am. Psalm 42:7, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. Now I've had so many encounters in waterfalls. I've had experiences of learning how to go up and not down a waterfall, of floating up and down, of standing under the power of love that was outpoured there, of different colors coming together in multiple streams of love. You know, I've found beyond that waterfall, there's a cave and I've been given quests. Waterfalls have a significant part to play in my life. And it's because the sound of the deep sound of God is there. The waterfall has many purposes, but mostly it is to express love in such a way that it draws my children back to the heart, my heart as Father. I am is calling you to come deeper, my children, into the depths of my loving heart. Come back to the beginning in face-to-face innocence and see yourself in the way I am sees you, and you will truly know yourself. Son, feel the rhythm of the beating of my heart. Son, rest here with me. Dwell here. Make this your abode. We need to live from a place of rest. Where else could we be more at rest than embraced in the Father's heart, our head, thinking about our mind, our consciousness, connected to his heart, that motivation of love. I am that I am is all you need. Release sons to arise from within all the places you are seeking to help my children engage. And everything I do and all the teaching I do is always about helping people to engage for themselves. If you cannot engage for yourselves, you will never come into the fullness of your sonship, because it comes by relational engagement. Consciously flow from this place of rest, from the core of my heart and mind, from within my name, from the fire of my altar. Son, be consciously seated at rest while ruling, and heaven will flow to release the deeper mysteries of sonship. All my children are sons of man, but not just the first man, Adam, but the last man, Jesus, but also sons of God, co-heirs and co-creators. My sons are to be the full representation of my image, my government seated in the heavens and walking on the earth. Son, do you feel it? Do you sense it? Do you hear it? And the answer was, yes. Can you see it? And I began to see unveiled. Now I'm seated next to the Father. I'm seated on the throne next to Jesus, where the river of fire flows and where I first encountered, where I saw my place being seated in heavenly places. Now this is not where I'm seated on my mountain throne, or in a sense, it's related to it, and I can rule my mountain throne from being seated in this place. But when I first engaged there, it opened up a vision, a portal to show me heaven's perspective of earth. And so I'm now sitting there and this essential vision opens up in front of me. The dawning of a new day, the beginning of a new season, a new vista with a new horizon. Can you not hear? Can you not see? Son, feel the wind shift, feel its intensity increase. I call my sons to arise, take their places so you can see, hear, perceive, and know that the ordinances of heaven have been decreed and the legions of heaven are being prepared to engage the atmosphere of the earth. This will only be in cooperation with those who have established a beachhead of heaven on the earth with heaven's blueprints and heaven's government. Son, a change is coming. You can be part of it, miss it, or even resist it, but you cannot stop it. The hunter-gatherer angels are going to be released to bring in the first fruits of the harvest to those storehouses that are prepared where the atmosphere is cleansed and its government is in place. Now, this is a whole teaching of how we deal with the atmosphere. But to sum it up, we need to be in heaven, we need to be on earth, and we need to bring an agreement between heaven and earth so that where we are on earth is not influenced by the atmosphere that's over us, because we have an open heaven over us. But therefore, we then need to expand that authority in that place to begin to push out and push back that which is in the atmosphere. And there's a cooperation with the angelic realm, which is absolutely key in that. Son, look into my eyes. Look into the radiance of my face, shining with your image and glorious representation of sonship. Son, see yourself as I see you, as you were always intended to be. Son, your origin and design are only to be found in the mirror of my face. You cannot see them anywhere else. And it's so important that we embrace that. We cannot see them anywhere else. Son, I make no seconds, no rejects, no mistakes. Only that which is perfect. So see yourself as a glorious son. See your restored image. Do not be conformed to any previous thoughts that you had about yourself, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through seeing this restored image in me. Son, love is the answer to your cry. It is time to speak the truth in love to bring the relationship issues into the light. Be honest, be vulnerable, be open, be real, so everyone can own their part in the problem. Love, forgiveness will bring the culture of honor that you seek. Now I'm looking at what God is doing in whatever you call what this is, this movement, this revelation, this mystical union, revelation, whatever description you want to put on it. There are issues that need to come into the light. There are relational issues, there are issues of competition, there are issues of empire building, there are issues of old covering systems being reestablished. We need to see these issues resolved. We need to see that we can have disagreements with one another in different things because we're at different places of our journey without falling out. It is so important that we learn to be honest, vulnerable, and open, be real, so that we're not confronting people, but we're looking to see the problems brought into the light and resolved. And I am passionate about seeing restoration of relationship, of seeing true relationship established within what God's doing, that we love, respect, and honor each other for the part that we have to play in what God's doing, so that all of those things can be received. And we can receive the reward of those relationships within a culture of honor. I am seeking that. I know it's God's heart. but we do need to see love manifested within our relationships to see this take place. And we may well need to sit down and actually deal with some of these issues in an open, honest, and real way. Son, call it forth, legislate for it, and it will come forth. And I am legislating for this to take place, for this revelation to unveil, so that the real issues can be resolved and we can actually see unity, unison, oneness within what God's doing. Not uniformity, but true unity, which will command a blessing. So in light of that, I went to the Court of Kings to produce this law of honor. And I felt, you know, compelled really to go, because I knew God's heart was looking at the dishonor that's out there within, you could say within the body of Christ, but I'm really just looking at within the sphere that I'm involved in and within the relationships within that mystical sphere. And therefore I was motivated to do this. And here is what was produced. You are authorized to establish trust in all relationships. You're authorized to establish a culture of honor. You're authorized to remove all boundaries, barriers, divisions, and separations of us and them dynamics from your relationship. And when there's an us and them dynamic, there is never going to be full unity. You're authorized to ask the questions that will bring the truth into the light. You're authorized to challenge all the negative mindset, belief systems, and toxic thinking in love. You're authorized to expose all toxic emotions in love. You're directed to hide nothing from each other. You're authorized to demonstrate the true love that bears with all, keeps no record of wrongs, and believes in all. Always think the best. You're authorized to honor all, to receive from all, so all will be living, active stones in the building up the body in love. So wherever you are and wherever you're involved with and whatever relationships you're in, work towards, use this law to legislate for these conditions to create a culture of honor which will bring us together in unity of heart and mind and purpose. So then, of course, I make these declarations, and I want again just to encourage you to just receive these if you resonate with them. You may then want to use this law. So I'm going to make these declarations. I call for a culture of honor. I call for trust to be displayed. I call for an environment of love. I call for openness, honesty, and transparency. I call for judgment and justice in love. I call for grace and mercy to triumph over judgment. I call for the grace that gives us righteousness and life to be unveiled and released. I call for the mercy that removes all the results of death within our lives to be released. I call for the softening of hard hearts. I call for the healing of damaged hearts. I call for the reconciliation of relationships. I call for the restoration of hope and encouragement. I call for passion, excitement, and enthusiasm to be restored. I call for destiny to be restored. I call for love, joy, and peace to be abundant and overflowing. Now God is calling His sons to arise. I encourage you to respond to this call. Use these things in your own life, in your own relationships. Use this law of honor to create the environment where the power of love will be released and unveiled, and where true unity with a commanded blessing will begin to take place. Arise and shine. Take your places as sons of God. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God be seated in heavenly places, in positions of identity or authority to release God's kingdom into the earth as it's being manifested in heaven. Let the sons of God arise. God is calling his sons to arise. Will you respond to the call?